And this is the word of God. This is Psalm 6. For the choir director with string instruments upon the 8-string lyre, a psalm of David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard my voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They will suddenly be ashamed. This is the word of God. Let us pray for his help. Oh, merciful Father, we come to you because we need your help of the Holy Spirit. We need the help of the Holy Spirit in order to understand this portion of your word. Lord, this world, because of sin, and this world is full of tears. Our lives, there are periods and moments in life when they're full of tears. And I want to ask you that this portion of your word may give us hope to those who are in moments of tears, but also for those who are in moments of joy, that you may prepare them in their hearts, and that they may be able to comfort those who are in tears. We ask you this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you know that there are scientists whose field of expertise is tears? I mean, I wonder how do they collect their samples, right? Do they make their kids cry for the sake of science? What was interesting about the reports is that they concluded that there are chemical differences between the tears that you shed when you're chopping an onion and those caused by emotional stress, for example, suffering. The tears which are caused by chopping an onion, they have less protein than those caused by an emotional stress. This extra protein in the tears of emotional stress makes them run slowly through your cheeks at a lower speed. In our psalm today, we're going to see that God treats tears differently also. The tears which are caused by chopping onions or dust, those are simply part of his perfect design for humanity. But the tears which are the product of suffering, he personally cares for them. When we shed these tears, when we're suffering, we need to remember the two following realities and the centrality of this message, which is God loves you and God hears your prayers. Remember those two realities. God loves you and God hears your prayers. I'm going to divide today's message in three sections. First, we're going to see God in your suffering. Here, we're going to see that God is not punishing you with suffering. God is not punishing you with suffering. He loves you. Secondly, we're going to see you and your suffering. You and your suffering. When you pray, open yourself to God. Tell him, how did you feel? He cares. Lastly, the prayers in your suffering. What happened to them? So first, God in your suffering. The first thing that we have to remind ourselves when we're suffering is, what is your relationship with God? Christians, if suddenly things seem to be falling apart in your life, like you lost a loved one, you or yourself, someone that you love, receive a serious medical condition, even if the worst things in this world changes your life, your relationship with God doesn't change. He still loves you. He cares, and he's faithful to you. Suffering doesn't necessarily mean that God is angry with you. One of the most common conclusions people draw when they see someone suffering is he or she might have done something very wrong for them to deserve that. Or sometimes we hurt ourselves. Sometimes we hurt ourselves saying, I haven't worked hard enough to please God, and this is what has happened to me because of that. But brothers and sisters, this is not the case. In John 9, we find Jesus encountering a young man born blind. So the disciples asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. There are many other examples in scriptures that proves this. The suffering doesn't mean God is punishing you or is angry at you. We can think of Joseph, Job, Jesus himself. He suffered and he never committed anything wrong. So here is not very clear among the scholars the reason behind David's suffering. Most likely was not due to a sin. Because unlike other psalms where David gets rebuked because of his sin, in this prayer, David doesn't confess a sin. So this is a prayer of mercy. This is a prayer of a desperate cry for help because his life is falling apart. So then, what is happening in verse 1? Verse 1 says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Other version says, do not discipline me in your wrath. Being disciplined by the Lord is something good. Proverbs 3:12, it says that, because the Lord disciplines those who he loves, as a father the son he delights. But here David is pleading to the Lord that he's so fragile that he can't take anything anymore, especially if the discipline comes with anger. David starts by being honest to God. I imagine David's life in this point as a dry dandelion flower. Do you guys remember those puffy white flowers that we used to love as a kid? Well, kids now have iPads, but back then we used to have these puffy flowers that we used to blow on, and that used to be our entertainment. I imagine David's life to be a blown away, to vanish. I imagine David like this. So next verse, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away, for I am weak. In the middle of his pain, David recognizes two realities. First, his reality. He recognized his reality and the reality of God. His reality and ours, brothers and sisters, is that we're limited in strength. The reality of God is that although our life situation changes, the steadfast love, the faithful love of God towards us does not change. And David knows this. And he appeals to this love. In verse 4, it says, "Return, O Lord, rescue me, rescue my soul, save me because of your loving kindness." Because of your loving kindness. Loving kindness, or steadfast love in Hebrew, David uses the word chesed, which it can be translated as loyal love, loyalty, mercy. But chesed also illustrates the loyalty of a king, the kind of loyalty a king has for his people. A king that doesn't leave no one behind. David has experienced this unfailing fatherly love from first hand. And when you experience this kind of love, it's something that you can simply forget. Let me read to you verse 5. It says that, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise?" As I mentioned it before, it's impossible for someone, for anyone who has truly known and experienced the love of God, His forgiveness, His faithfulness, the word of Christ at the cross, you can experience all these things and don't have remembrance of God in this life or the other. The only way for anyone to don't have memory of God in this life or the next is that they have never met Him. A scholar said the following. This is a quote. Quote, "Not to know what Yahweh has done means not to know who He is, for it was in the remembrance of His activity that Israel learned the character of His Lord." Constantly remembering what the Lord has done for His people. It was a commandment. It was one of the principal instructions God gave to His people. We can think of Easter. Easter was a ceremony that in part served to Israel as a remembrance of what God did for them in Egypt. The Lord's Supper for us, in part, I highlight in part, functions as a remembrance of what Christ did for His people. When suffering, it's so important to remember what the Lord has done. It's so important to remember what the Lord has revealed about Himself through His deeds and history. Because He has revealed with His deed that He loves His people, that He freed them from slavery because He loves them. He sent His Son to die on the cross to free us from our sin, to give us eternal life, because He loves us. God has demonstrated that He loves you in His deeds. He has shown to us. He has shown this kind of love to David as well. So David knows this kind of love. And in his prayer, he said it with confidence. "Save me because of your loving kindness." Why do we, as God's people, especially in suffering, we need to remember what God has revealed about Himself through His mighty works in the Bible? Because suffering tends us to see our life with a micro lens, with a mini lens, and we see only ourselves in our situation. So in the moments of suffering, we have to change to a macro lens. We have to see the whole picture. And we have to see what the Lord has done for us. And how do we change lenses from a micro to a macro lens? How can we see the whole picture of what the Lord has done and is doing for us? Well, through the reading. Reading and meditating upon His Word. Brothers and sisters, our situation now, we may have sickness, we might experience death, but we know the whole story. We have the complete revelation of Christ and Scriptures. We know how things are going to end. We know how the devil, death, sickness, or problems are going to end forever and the last day when the Lord comes. We know that our enemies, as verses 10 and 11 says, all our enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They will suddenly be ashamed. We need to keep in mind what God has done and will do for us. Now we have to remember that remembering is not just an act of the mind. Like, I remember to go pick up the kids from school. No, remembering involves trusting and worshiping. Trusting and worshiping. David, in the midst of his suffering, he is remembering, trusting, and worshiping all at the same time. He's remembering, trusting, and worshiping the loving kindness of the Lord. Verse 5 teaches that even in death, our present relationship with God doesn't change. Verse 5 says that for in death there is no remembrance of you. There is no memory of you in death. There is a several scholars agree that Sheol takes different meanings in scriptures. For example, it could simply mean death, the grave, the role of the dead. So we read here in Psalm 6 verse 5 that in Sheol there is no one who gives thanks to the Lord. In Sheol, there is no one who remembers God, according to the psalmist. So, Sheol takes different connotations. Like I mentioned, it could be the place of the death. But Sheol, in our psalm today, describes the place, the appointed place, where the wicked and the unbelievers go after they died. Psalm 49:14 says, like sheep, they're appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol. So who are these people in Sheol in verse 5 who don't have memory of God? Who don't give thanks to God? Who are these people? Well, who are in Sheol and do not remember God, who do not mention Him in death in the afterlife, is people who are not part of His flock. People who never trusted God. So for the wicked, for those who never believe in God and died in this condition, their relationship with God doesn't change. They still don't know God, and God doesn't rescue them from Sheol. But if you have believed in Christ, You are his people. Even if you experience death, he will come to rescue you. You will always have remembrance of him, because who can forget what Christ has done for you? Not his people. He will have remembrance of you. Your relationship with him doesn't change even in the worst moments, which is death. Your relationship with him doesn't change in your suffering. What is the relationship that we have as God's people? Well, the promise that he gave us. I will be your God and you will be my people. And nothing can change that. Suffering cannot change that. Death cannot change this promise of God, of I will be your God and you will be my people. Brothers and sisters, this doesn't change even with death. Because we belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We belong to him. He loves us, even in the midst of our suffering. Second, you and your suffering. This is a good moment to transition to our second point. And this is something that transformed me in my prayer. And in this song, we're going to learn that when you pray, be sincere to God. Open your heart. Tell him how do you feel. A lot of times, we're so formal with God that we become distant. That we distance ourselves. For example, when we prayed, Heavenly Father, I ask you for this trouble in Christ's name, and we walk away. And there's nothing wrong with praying this kind of prayer. There's nothing wrong. But we're going to see how the psalmist teach us how to pray better and how expressing our feelings to the Lord matter. When my sister was engaged before smartphones, she spent a lot of time on the phone with her fiancé, on the home phone. It was the only phone that we had. And my mom didn't like that. She used to complain to my sister. She said, I don't know why you spend so much time on the phone. In 5 minutes, you can tell anyone everything that person needs to know. And our prayers sometimes look like my mom's perfect phone call. Right? We spend even less than 5 minutes praying, and we don't know what to say anymore. But we're going to see how David prayed and how it can help us on our daily lives. So verse 6 and 7 says, look the way David prays. Verses 6 and 7 says, I am weary with my sighting. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because all my adversaries. Brothers and sisters, do you realize who is speaking these words? It's David. David, who with one strike defeated Goliath, who killed bears and lions. David, who killed way more than Saul. Remember that little song that people used to bully Saul? The song used to say, Saul has slain his thousand and David his 10,000. We're talking about this David, the great warrior, crying, asking for mercy. Because according to verse 2 and 3, his bones are in trouble and his soul is greatly troubled. His bones and soul being troubled simply means that his whole being was in severe pain. We don't know the cause of this suffering. We don't have the historical background of it. But what we know is that this king is immersed in complete anguish. In modern language, we can say that he was suffering from anxiety. He was suffering probably from depression, physical ache. Being strong and fragile at the same time is part of the normal fallen human experience. We certainly have experienced this. At work, or when we used to have a work, we probably were the MVPs of work, right? We were the Tom Bradley of our works. But when we don't find a solution to our marriage, a family member suddenly receives an unfavorable medical diagnosis, no matter how strong and how good you are at work, or how strong you are, when we face suffering, we crumble down like David. We crumble down when suffering hits our door. But if in suffering we crumble down just like David does, why is it that we don't pray as David? That's if we even pray. A lot of times we don't even pray. Why is it so hard to express our feelings to God? And the reason is that we don't pray often. If you want to wait to pray in difficult times, like David, it will be so hard to pray like prayer, like David, expressing their feelings in moments of trouble. Prayer must be something that we needed to do continuously, in the good and the bad. David did not begin expressing his feelings in this psalm. No, David did not restrain himself of expressing his feelings to God. When he was happy, he was joyful, he will dance and worship him with instruments. He will express his feelings to God. I am happy, Lord. When he was sad and in pain, he did not hide it. He said it here, verse 6. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with tears. He was sincere. He was open. In that church that I'm attending now, we have blank pieces of paper in the entrance. And if you have a petition, you can write down the petition and the pastor will pray for them during the congregational prayer. The majority of those requests are from kids, 8-year-old kids. And those little kids have transformed the way I prayed. And they transform my prayer. Let me read to you one of their prayers. This is from a 6-year-old girl. She said, "Thank you, Lord, because it's a beautiful day. Thank you that I'm happy today. Thank you for my new friend I made in school. I ask you that everyone in church might have a great day today." This is wonderful. We should fill our prayers with things like this. Express, how was your day? How are you feeling to God? My sister, the same sister, lives in Jersey now. My mom is 72 years old, and she lives in Mexico City. We don't get to see each other as often. My sister calls my mom daily, sometimes 2-3 times a day. Their phone calls last over 2 hours each. I always wonder what happened to my mom's 5 minutes, sufficient phone call. Well, when you're talking to someone daily, when you're talking to someone that you love, when you're talking to your son or daughter or parents, you want to know everything about them. You want to know how they feel. You want for them to express their feelings to you, and you want to do the same to them. Time when you're talking to someone that you love becomes timeless. This is what this psalm teaches us. Expressing your emotions when you're praying is so important. If you don't know what to say anymore in your prayers, and you're praying for 2 minutes and you don't know what to say, tell them how was your day and how you're grateful for that. They're so important that David's feelings. They're so important that they got recorded in Scripture. But they also give us a glimpse into what Jesus felt during his early ministry. The same God who has shown his steadfast, unfailing love and history for his people, who saved us from Sheol, is a God that cares for you, even to the smallest things like, how was your day? So brothers, start telling him, how was your day? Suffering transforms you. For example, after I have my 2 children with disabilities, I started to notice other parents in the same situation. My suffering transformed the way I perceive life. Suffering transformed you in many ways. And one way that transformed you is that enhancing you perseverance. Someone wrote the following: faith, enduring, and alert dependency on the Lord is one of the Spirit's finest fruits. And you bear that fruit only when you have lived through something hard. This is similar to what Paul says in Romans 5. Romans 5 says, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Brothers and sisters, this transformation of Romans 5, we see it in this psalm. We see it in David. David started by saying in verse 3, O Lord, how long? This signifies that David has been struggling with this pain, with this affliction, now for a long period of time. But he persevered in it. And the proof that he persevered in it is that in the middle of his struggle, he places his hope, his trust in the steadfast love of God. And when this happened, a transformation on his heart happened. This transformation can only be an act of the Holy Spirit working in you. And we're going to see this transformation of David. And the last point, your prayers in suffering. Discussing this section is what my wife and I make us weep. And in the middle of the restaurant, not too far from here, and in the Mountain Plaza here in Redlands. And we're going to see this transformation of David. And we have experienced this through our kids with disabilities. So let me summarize what we have seen so far. Until now, we have seen a king devastated, crying every night. His pain, if you go to the doctor, they give you a rate from 1 to 10. David is in 20, right? His pain is to the max. Verse 7 says that his eye has wasted away with grief. He's in so much pain that his only hope right now is to appeal to God's unfailing love. And this love, and as it has proven in history, this love doesn't fail. Pay attention to verse 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7 says, Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with tears. But suddenly something happens. Imagine, this king is crying, saying, I dissolve my couch in tears. And then suddenly he says, depart from me, all who you do iniquity. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Brothers and sisters, speaking these kind of words in the middle of the suffering, it's only the product of the Holy Spirit working in you. You cannot speak these kind of words if it's not the Holy Spirit working in you. David changed from a state of weeping to a state of confidence. He knows his prayers have been heard. And knowing in your heart that your prayers have been heard and having that confidence is a work of the Holy Spirit. In my personal life, the last time I experienced this peace was when my family and I, we confronted the enemy of epilepsy within my kids starting last year. I remember crying without comfort, holding myself from the kitchen sink, asking the Lord for mercy. For a period of time, in my sadness, I was in a micro lens mood. I was only seeing my pain, and I was only seeing my situation. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, I switched to a micro lens to see the whole picture and to realize that God has done something about my son's epilepsy. And that is sending his son to remit it, to conquer death at the resurrection. God has answered my prayers 2,000 years ago, sending his son. This is why I try to emphasize so much in this sermon, to consider what God has done for his people in history. Because we learn from them that God hears the prayers of his people. And when he hears the prayers of his people, he acts upon them. God heard the groaning of his people in Egypt and he freed them. But the personal example of God hearing a prayer and answering it is Jesus' prayers. Hebrews 5:7 says the following. In the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Brothers and sisters, this psalm was David's prayers. But also, as I mentioned, this is a glimpse to what Jesus experienced in his own flesh. Jesus himself prayed with tears. He suffered in the flesh, the anxiety of oppression. He suffered an affliction that made Jesus cry, according to Hebrews 5:7. We can think of an event, Jesus crying with supplication and anxiety. This event is in Matthew 26, right before Jesus got arrested. He's in a severe agony because of that. So he goes and prays, and he takes Peter and three other disciples. And Jesus says to them, Jesus says that, begin to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus was very honest with his feelings on how he was feeling. And he told his disciples, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Jesus was also very honest on his prayers. Matthew 26 says that he prayed three times, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will." Jesus was really honest. He was really honest. "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus goes and check on his disciples three times. And the three times, the disciples, just like us, we fall asleep praying. But Jesus goes back and forth three times. But when he comes back and checks on them the third time, he didn't go back and pray the fourth time. Something happened. Suddenly, Jesus, who is very sorrowful and troubled, suddenly he wakes them up and said, "Let's go. The time, the hour has come." A change happened, right? It happened from a state of weeping to a state of confidence, just like in this psalm. It's similar, the same structure as the psalm. Jesus, at the third time, he said, "It's time to go." Although Jesus in his flesh was afflicted, after praying, he endured his agony. Jesus endured his affliction. He knew that his prayer has been heard. Jesus still went to the cross. But now he went to the cross with confidence that his Father heard his prayers. And as we know from Hebrews 5:7, he raised him up from the dead because he heard his prayers. With David, we don't know how long after his prayer he continued to be afflicted. I mean, from the psalm, we just know that he tells his enemies, "Get away from me." But we don't know if they got away. But David now continued his life knowing that his prayer has been heard, and that transformed the whole situation. That transformed him. Knowing that your Father, who has an unfailing love for you, has heard your prayers, can make you get up in the morning when everything's going down in your life. The same thing happened to us. Your situation might not change. I pray that it does. We have a God that nothing is impossible for him. And if we pray to him, he might be graceful enough and change our situation. But if things don't change, know that your Father has heard your prayers and he acts upon them. So knowing that God loves you and hears and cares for you, even your most deepest pains and feelings, is something that will transform you and will help you endure suffering. To wrap things up, this psalm, just as in life, is full of shed tears. But take heart. The God cares for your tears. God cares for the tears that you shed in your suffering. He cares for each of them. He cares what you're going through. He loves you. There will be a moment, brothers and sisters, take courage, that there will be a moment when no more tears will be shed. Those scientists will be out of job because there will be no more tears. And this is at the last day. Revelation 2:21-14 says the following. And in this verse, remember how God, how Jesus cares for your tears. Every single one of them. He cares them so much that he personally is going to handle them. Revelation 21:4 says that on the last day, Jesus will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the order of the things, for the old order of things has passed away. Jesus will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Take comfort, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that we have today. Thank you that we're able to come to you and express our deepest and saddest moments in life. But we're able to come and in moments of joy, in moments of gratefulness, that we're able to come to you and tell you how was our day, and you care for every single one of them. That we're able to come to you in the middle of traffic. That we're able to come to you in the kitchen, in the living room. That we can pray to you all the time. And that you care for every single one of our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that all our prayers have been answered in your Son, Jesus Christ. Life, death, sickness, you have act upon them in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us change the way we prayed. Help us pray in a better way, in a more open, in a more daughter and father relationship, and more in a son-father relationship. Help us to come to you as a father or daughter to his Father. We ask you this in the beautiful name who will wipe out the tears from our eyes in the last day. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.